What's up, beer drinkers? How y'all doing this week? Oh, we got another great show for you again this week. Not only do we drink and review some delicious beer, but in the beer news, we do talk a little bit about a new craft beer alliance out there in California called Circle of Crowns. It's very exciting. I anticipate their arrival. And then also, during our drunken shenanigans, during our cold brew list, we go over the top selling beers as so far in 2023, or the top selling breweries, I should say, in 2024. Fuck 2023, that was last year's news. We're talking about this year's news. So we talk about the top selling breweries in 2024 in the U.S. Qualify that a little bit more. Man, I should have really rehearsed this before I recorded. Oh, well, I got to hurry up. You know, I live next to Luke Air Force Base, and like clockwork, every time I record this part for the show, they're taking off, and I can hear it in the background. I know you guys probably can't hear it. I know my old mics, they didn't, there was no noise gate. This one's got a noise gate at least, so it blocks out a lot of ambient sound. And man, seems like every fucking time I record this, it could be like sometimes I get done early editing the show. It'd be like around, 8:30, and nope, yeah, they're taking off. Or if I don't edit the show entirely until today, then yeah, it's like they wait. It's like they know. It's like I don't hear anything. I could be get all super excited, and I'm like, all right, I haven't heard them. Maybe they're taking a day. Nope, they're not taking a day off. There they go. And I hear like a low rumble right now, like they're waiting for me. They're like, oh, is he recording yet? You know, they are the Air Force. They have fucking, spy satellite shit. Oh, well, it is what it is, right? Well, let me hurry up and get this done so that I don't have to worry about it and I won't get frustrated and annoyed. During our drunken shenanigans, I talk about going to medieval times in Scottsdale. I don't know how many of y'all have been to medieval times or have seen The Cable Guy. I talk about that. Had a great time. And then we talk a little bit about the Tom Brady roast. We don't give anything away because Sorcerer Chromatic and I hadn't seen it yet, but we up to that point, we had heard bits and pieces of it. Yeah, I've seen it now. I've seen half of it. Shit's fucking long. It's like 3 hours. Like after like an hour and a half, I'm like, all right. You know, a lot of dick jokes and fucking, Giselle jokes. Great. Good job. And then, and Gronk is dumb jokes. And then what else? Oh, and then we talk, Sorcerer Chromatic wanted to bring up a couple of the newer of the Star Wars series on Disney Plus. And, I think they're animated, so not really my bag. For some reason, it just those animated series for Star Wars. For some reason, they don't do it for me. Just give me the live action, please. But anyway, if that's your thing, go check it out. I heard it's pretty good. It fills in some of the story gaps from some of the major series and also characters from the movies. All right, before we get to the show, just got to do a couple plugs. On Sunday, I recorded an interview with Adam Schmeichel from Fate Brewing over at Tap That Downtown. So that should be coming out pretty soon. And then what else? Oh, yeah. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Untapped. So it's Cold Brew Podcast. All right. So without further ado, and before the jets start flying overhead, here's another episode of Cold Brew. Coming at you pre-recorded from Cold Brew Studios, I am Greg, he is Sorcerer Chromatic, and we're here to talk about beer.
Yes, we are.
How you doing this week, man?
Not bad. Getting a lot of stuff done.
That's good.
Busy with the work and the family and stuff.
Right. And the move.
Yes.
Yeah. I've been running all over the place this weekend. I can't wait to just... After this, I'm just going to fall asleep. I'm tired. But
there you go.
Let's get to some beer, shall we?
Sure.
All right. So today I have in front of me from our good friends, down in, shoot, where are they? I know they're in the LA area. Oh, it's it's brewed and canned for Four Crown Hops by Hen House Brewing, and they are in Santa Rosa, California. And this is one of the old Black is Beautiful beers back from 2020, from canned on July 19th, 2020. And it is a pecan pie stout. Pulled this one out the other day. I was going to have it last week, but then I was able to go out and buy a freshie. And then, so I had this in my refrigerator all ready to go, and you'll see why. I'm drinking this during our beer news segment, and I think it just it works perfectly together. It's a, like I said, it's a pecan pie stout, so I'm guessing it's a pastry stout or a dessert stout anyway, and it's 7.0% alcohol by volume. So without further ado, pop off. What do you got?
Well, I have a... I'm bringing back an original to me, a beer very near and dear to me because it is one of the first craft style beers that I've grown to love and appreciate in my whole beer drinking life journey.
Okay.
I am talking about Gordon Biersch Marizin Smooth Amber Lager.
Sweet.
Now, I talked to you about this. I don't know how many listeners we have in the Bay Area. And Gordon Biersch kind of reset everything and went back to their roots and is redistributing right now cases of their beer. Not really sure what happened to them. I know the restaurant side closed in downtown and a lot of areas. I think there's only a few left. And, well, the restaurant and the actual brewery are not really related anymore. I even think like the Rock Bottom company bought those guys out, but I don't want to get on that tangent because I might be wrong by now. Okay. So going back to my story is, I see on social media that, you know, Gordon Biersch is popping up a lot of advertising cans and distribution is right now just at Costco warehouses. So yeah, I had to buy a case of this stuff. However, oh, to me, you. It is worth it. What's that?
I said, I know, right? Poor you.
Stuck with a case of beer.
Right.
So going back, Amber Lager, not too much on this, on their website and even on the can. It just says, Marizin Smooth Auburn Lager, Bay Area brewed since 1988. Everything smoother with an umlaut.
Very nice. Yeah, we like those around here.
So a while ago, Gordon Biersch, they switched up a lot of stuff. Marizin being one of the more noticeable ones for me. They renamed it Cliffhanger Marizin. I'm not sure if it was a marketing thing, if they thought they could do more options or whatnot with it.
Yeah.
However, it's back. All the cans are uniform. The three basic styles plus an IPA. I think it's a hazy as well. So Gordon Biersch kind of just resetting their footprint and is back in business, baby. Love it.
Right.
Papa.
Wait, so they're in cans now?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's different for them because they've always, well, back in the day, they were just bottles. So they're totally restarting everything.
Don't you know it.
All right. So this Black is Beautiful pecan pie stout, as most of you are well aware, the Black is Beautiful brand started by Weathered Souls out of San Antonio, Texas, was to support justice and equality for people of color in the brewing industry. And it was basically just I don't think it was like a single recipe. It was more like, hey, let's maybe here's a stout base and everyone have fun with it, you know, make it your own. And Crown and Hops decided to go with the pecan pie stout, and it's really good. I was afraid it was going to be too sweet, almost cloying, but this is a great beer. It is a deep dark stout. It pours like very motor oil black, and then not a lot in the nose, but when you drink it, You taste a lot of pecan pie, not a lot of sugar, not a lot of sweetness to it. There's just a subtle sweetness. Then you get that nutty flavor with the pecan. It's very tasty. This is a damn good beer. Awesome. Excellent beer.
Awesome. Yeah. I did like the whole one of those campaigns, like Black is Beautiful and some other fundraising efforts where what do they call it? Public source the recipe?
I think so. I think I'm not exactly sure, but I know what you mean.
Right. They share the recipe and, mm-hmm. and everyone brews it to fundraise. However, as far as I know, Black is Beautiful probably got the most spin-offs and twist recipes in this game that I'm aware of. Again, if someone totally, I know a lot of other ones had a live like a few more different hops added here and there and stuff like that. However,
yeah,
but Black is Beautiful came in quite a bit of variety.
Yeah,
because the base was a stout, right?
Yeah, you're right. It was a base stout. Yes.
So going on with that, a lot of possibilities from there.
Exactly. And yeah, some of the other ones, one I remember remember Sierra Nevada did that campfire one, and I think it was mostly a West Coast deal. I don't know how many, I think a few breweries across the U.S. Participated in it, but there wasn't a lot of variation. I think it was like it was a pale ale of sorts. And so it was more like you got to taste the same recipe from different breweries and the variations there within, but it wasn't as widely diverse as the Black is Beautiful.
Right. And to our knowledge, this is one of the first times where it was done at this scale on the West Coast. I'm sure it's been done before. I hope it has, if it's, you know, for a good cause and all.
Mm-hmm.
However, that's the one that kept fire that really brought me to the attention of this.
Yeah.
This type of beer making effort.
Yep. Yeah, same here. So how's your revisit with that? Do you remember the last time you had the Martzen by Gordon Biersch?
Honestly, I'm thinking it probably had to be at that one of the beer walks, especially in Japantown, when you mm-hmm. get to go on the tour of Gordon Biersch.
Yeah,
possibly. I know for sure I got it a lot when I was whenever I'd go to the restaurant. Gosh, the restaurant's been closed for quite some time now.
Yeah,
as well. So it's hard to say. Really hard to say off the top of my head, but it has been a while. And I know I had a cliffhanger to. Okay, rewind it. I knew I had the cliffhanger one. Just I had to try it to, you know, my curiosity. And to me, it tasted the same pretty much.
All right.
So
how's it
going from there?
Yeah. How's it now?
Oh yeah. I mean, I love this beer. I mean, it's kind of unfair to me to have it on the show because it's one of my favorites all the time.
That's awesome. All right. So I think we both love our beers right now. We are going to rate them both very high during our Untappd segment of the show, which will be in a little while. But right now, it's time for some beer news. All right, first story comes to us from Fortune, written by Sunny Nagpal. Nagpal? Nagpal? So here's the headline. Cinco de Mayo may be boozier than New Year's Eve and St. Patrick's Day, a survey finds. With Cinco de Mayo soon approaching, well, here right now, we are recording this on Cinco de Mayo. It is a good time to clear up a few misconceptions about the celebration that for many Americans includes carnitas, margaritas, and of course, beer and tequila. Americans know one thing for sure, the holiday is another reason to drink. What Cinco de Mayo signifies, however, as Americans are less certain about. Contrary to what over 40% of Americans think, according to a YouGov survey, Cinco de Mayo is not Mexico's Independence Day. That's on September 16th. Instead, it commemorates the day of a Mexican victory over France that took place on May 5th, 1862. Second, the holiday is relatively minor in Mexico and isn't even widely celebrated there. Instead, it's primarily observed in Puebla, the state the battle took place in. And third, Cinco de Mayo may be boozier than St. Patrick's Day and even New Year's Eve, according to a Numerator survey of more than 5,100 consumers. The survey showed 59% of those celebrating Cinco de Mayo said they plan to purchase alcohol for the day, compared to 53% of respondents who plan to buy alcohol for New Year's Eve, and 44% buying for St. Patrick's Day. To be sure, New Year's Eve may be more widely celebrated than the other two holidays, but Cinco de Mayo's emphasis on alcohol comes against the backdrop of business promotions tailored to the celebration and the changing demographic of Americans, which includes a rising Hispanic population. So there you go. It might be not as widely celebrated as New Year's Eve, obviously, because New Year's Eve is celebrated pretty much worldwide. And Cinco de Mayo is only celebrated in the U.S. But people relate Cinco de Mayo with drinking more so than any other holiday. I wouldn't even call it a holiday.
Do more people associate Cinco de Mayo with drinking or St. Patrick's Day with drinking?
Oh, according to this, a little bit more with Cinco de Mayo. Just a few percentage points higher.
Do you think more Mexicans in America celebrate St. Patrick's Day more than Irish people in America celebrate Cinco de Mayo?
I think it's even.
There you go. Very diplomatic.
Right. I don't know. I'll have to get on the survey team and ask that question next year.
Well, I'm sure population-wise, especially on the West Coast, there's more Mexicans than Irish people.
Yeah. And I think there's probably more Irish people in the East Coast than on the West Coast.
Right. And they probably think we're Puerto Rican. So,
which comedian had that bit? Was it Mencia who said that? Depending where you are in the U.S., people assume you're that a certain type of Latino.
Yeah, he said it, but he probably stole it.
So. Okay. Good answer. All right, moving right along to our next beer story. Comes to us from Good Beer Hunting, written by Kate Bernot. Seizing the mantle, California's black-owned breweries form alliance to better meet retailer demand. Nearly 1 year to the day after the National Black Brewers Association, the NB2A, I kind of like that, NB2A, announced its launch, a duo of black-owned breweries is forming a business alliance that they say will help black-owned companies take advantage of the retail opportunities that group has created. Together, their portfolio includes four California brands, Crown & Hops Brewing Company, the beer that I'm drinking right now, Full Circle Brewing Company, Sonoma Cider, and Speakeasy Ales and Lagers. No equity will change hands in the formation of this new alliance called Circle of Crowns Beverage Group. Instead, the brands will have shared access to sales staff, ingredients, purchasing, distribution networks, and some production space. Full Circle Brewing already owns the Speakeasy and Sonoma Cider brands and Contract Brews Crown and Hops beer. Production of all four brands will happen at Full Circle's Fresno location. The alliance has a production capacity of roughly 25,000 barrels and the ability to double that through the addition of more fermenters without requiring further construction. Its network of independent distributors will give the brands access to nearly that entire state, which is the U.S.'s second largest beer market behind Texas. Circle of Crowns leadership says it aspires to be a top 50 craft brewery, the 50th spot on the Brewers Association 2023 list of largest craft breweries by volume was held by Indie Brew, itself a collective formed by the merger of Scofflaw and Bearded Iris Breweries, which reportedly brewed 54,770 barrels of beer in 2022, the most recent year for which data is available. This is a quote from Arthur Moy, CEO and founder of Fresno's Full Circle Brewing Company. We are now an entity that has the production ability, the brands, the distribution network to answer the call of all these chains that know that a black culture brand option on their shelves would be great for the mass consumer, but has yet to have an entity that can produce at the level to sustain those shelf spots. So there you go, man. There's a new craft brewery alliance in town. And is called Circle of Crowns in California. Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, that's cool. Congrats to them.
Yep. Can you get Crown and Hops beer up there, or you haven't seen it yet?
To be honest, I haven't seen it lately.
Okay.
I remember seeing it a few years ago. Kind of random, like special release.
Yeah.
However, regularly, I don't think so. At the same time, I haven't been looking for it. Now that I know they got, you know, more establishment, they probably get established distribution with it, I hope.
Yeah.
And we'll see it.
And just the sheer size, I mean, Crown & Hops is relatively new, so they probably haven't grown that much. But now that they have an alliance, and it seems like they're contract brewing at a few different places, yeah, they'll probably have more liquid to distribute.
So, right, yeah. Or they'll up with where they're brewing at, whoever distributes them.
Yeah, and you get Full Circle up there, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I remember you had that that one Mac Dre Golden Ale, right? Or something like that?
Oh, the Golden Stout. It was a Golden Stout.
Oh, Golden Stout. Yeah. That's it. All right. Cool. Good for them. Looking forward to seeing that in the future in California. That's all I have for the beer news this week. So do you know what that means?
I think I do.
It's time for everyone's favorite segment on Cold Brew, because it's my favorite segment. It's time for the Cold Brew List.
Y'all ready for this?
All right. So let me ask you this. How do you think beer is doing this year as far as sales and consumption and whatnot?
Oh, that's a good question. As far as if I were just to go by some of the headlines that I remember so far this year, I'm going to say it's down a little bit. Why do you ask?
Well, I don't have the exact numbers. However, yeah, I do have a list of the top 10 best-selling craft beer brands of 2024.
Ooh, okay.
So far.
Yeah.
About a third of the way through the year, right?
Yeah.
About a third year? So here we go. Number 10. Our beloved Firestone Walker.
Oh, okay. Good. Good for them.
Doesn't say, but moving on. Number 9, because we're doing a countdown. There's right. 10 and then we go to 9. That's how it goes.
Going down.
Elysian.
Oh, okay.
Elysian, very, very popular brand.
Mm-hmm.
Still AB InBev. However, a lot of people like their Space Dust because of its high ABV.
Yeah. And it's deliciosity, too.
Yes. The Hopheads got a... got a, what's it called? An everyday drinker.
Yep.
Number 8, Founders. I haven't seen too much new stuff from Founders lately.
Yeah. I think the most I see from them is in the grocery stores anyway, is their all day or their variety pack.
Moving on from Founders.
Yep.
To number 7, Bell's.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see a lot of them, and people go crazy for their seasonal releases, like the Oberon and their Brown Ale.
Right. Both Founders and Bell's are out of Michigan, right?
Believe so, yeah.
Okay. You know what I see a lot of, like, variants of the Two-Hearted? Like, didn't they, like, Two-Hearted dry-hopped or double-hopped or something like that?
Oh, yeah, there's, like, the Half-Hearted. Which is their session.
There you go. The half heart. Yeah, that's another. Yeah.
And I think the double.
So, interesting.
The double Two-Hearted, I think, or it's called double hearted. I forget.
Yes. Going back to that. Just using. I wonder how related or inspired it is by their Two-Hearted. Because that Two-Hearted, when I first had it, like, well, I see what the big deal is.
Yeah.
That was some good beer.
Exactly. And I still go back to it every once in a while. I think I had it like about a month ago. I bought a 6-pack.
It's more readily available out here, I must say.
Oh, nice.
I think I kind of go by it a little bit too much.
Mm.
As in, I go past it.
Yeah, no, I knew what you meant. Not purchase it, yes.
Moving on, number 6, Shiner. Known for their Shiner Bock and whatnot. Out of Texas. Big things for them.
Yeah. The Spetzel Brewing Company, I think, brews that.
Number five, one of our near and dear favorites, Lagunitas.
Oh, yeah. Bay Area.
Lagunitas, known, yes, known for their IPA and other creative beer styles. You know what I haven't seen in forever?
What's that?
Is, well, I didn't see Waldo's this year. Number one squad.
Funny you bring that up because I was at Total Wine the other day and I pulled the last one off their shelf. So I got one. I got it.
Maybe I saw it and it was just too early. Maybe I saw it like in March and I'm just like, meh, I'll get one later. and then later never came.
Like Homer and going to see Mr. T. And when I finally went, they said he just left. And when I asked if he'd be back, they said they didn't know.
You know what I haven't seen though is the censored.
Oh yeah, I haven't seen that either. What was it called? The Chronic?
It was already called Chronic, but they didn't want using that name brought up some red flags in the industry. So either that or they fabricated that story to go with it.
Maybe. Yeah, I think they're trying to focus on their higher selling brands than all those but the specialty brands they used to make.
Oh, I get you.
All right, what's next?
Number six, four, Sam Adams, Boston Beer Company, always in the mix. They're in at number four so far this year.
Wow, I would have thought they were being like the top two, but okay, here we are.
Year's not over though.
Yeah, true.
Year's not over. Number three is Sierra Nevada.
Oh, all right, nice. Speaking of Sierra Nevada, I saw another hazy little thing variant. I think it was called Cosmic Little Thing. But I couldn't find like a single of it, so I don't want to open the little cardboard case for it just to buy a single at Total Wine. But I'm wondering about that one now.
Yeah, I remember seeing a variety pack of the Little Thing line with I've never seen before too. Mm-hmm. So they're using that line for sure. And I must admit, I do like it. I mean, when Hazy Little Thing first came out, I liked it.
Yeah.
Then what was the next one? It was a big one though, right?
Yeah, the purple one. Purple can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Forget that one.
I think it's the Big Little Thing.
There you go. That one. And then the yellow one. The wasn't like a citrus wheat one? Something like that.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. No, the orange one is the citrus sweet one.
However, those things are great.
Those things. I like that.
Moving on. Number two is part of your favorite question ever. Have you tried Blue Moon?
Oh, man. All right. It's a crafty beer. It's the craft offshoot, but it's still... I don't know. I don't think it should belong. I don't think it belongs on that list. It's not fair.
Well, Blue Moon is on the list.
Okay.
Yes. Miller Coors, craft beer, flagship. Blue Moon served its purpose, though. I enjoyed it. I don't drink it now. However, when it first came out, I definitely liked it.
Right. Yeah.
And number one, to me, a little surprising. So far. Number one this year is New Belgium.
Oh, yeah. I can see that. They're Voodoo Rangers, I think one of the highest selling IPAs in the country. So that probably what's helped them so far this year.
Yeah, the Voodoo Ranger is listed in the article.
Okay.
Not going to read it, but I see it.
Yeah. Sorry. Very good. What do you think of the list? of all the on the list, I mean, I guess you don't have the numbers, but it's a pretty good list. They all, I guess it, including the Blue Moon in there, it all kind of checks out. It passes the eye test.
Yeah, all the bigger ones. I mean, I'm not sure of another possible like East Coast or, even like Stone might have been in there.
Mm. Forgot about trying to think guys. Of
like the usual suspects and stuff like this.
Right. No Red Hook in there.
I don't know. One of the other, it still goes under craft brew. However, it's owned by Big Beer. I haven't seen. I'm trying to think of who else could fit in under that.
Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying. Or like maybe something like one of those alliances, like the Canarchy with the Dales and the cigar.
Canarchy guys, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, where's Oscar Blues? Where's Dales Pale Ale?
Yeah. They're part of the Canarchy. You figure if you lump them all together, Canarchy could be up there, I would think. But whatever. How's your beer treating you?
Awesome.
Very good. I've been sipping mine slowly, so I still have quite a bunch left. Plus, it's 7%, so it's not hitting me like a barrel age would. But this is not a barrel age stout. All right, so we're going to go to Untappd right now and rate our beers. Kind of hard for me to pull my usual. I forgot what you had because I remember what you because I'm kind of jealous. I kind of want to have some because I haven't had Gordon Biersch in years. That restaurant that was that I used to live next to, that closed down before I even moved out here to Surprise. And I don't know if I haven't been there. I haven't been back to, I forgot what it's called. Westgate, the entertainment district over there. I haven't been back there in a while. I think since the Barbie movie, because that's we saw at the theater, the AMC that's right there. But we went around. I don't remember looking to see what it was, what it turned into. But anyway, I know something must have moved in there because they don't waste any fucking retail space in that area. You had by Gordon Biersch their Märzen. All right. What would you like to rate this at?
It's not fair for me to rate this. I mean, I'd give it a 5.
Okay.
Probably. Yeah, it's just too sentimental.
Okay. What notes would you like to leave? I'll just check in then.
What did I say? Smooth, malty, and sweet.
And sweet. Save and check in. Let me go back to it real quick. And it has an overall rating right now of 3.5. 9 of our friends have rated it for an average of 3.7. Our friend, the counselor, she gave it a 5. Eli checked in only. Philip S. gave it a 4. Patrick M. just checked in on it. And Aztec 77 gave it a 3.5. Oh, he's hating, dude. You're going to have to. Oh, that was back in 2016. He hasn't tried the new one yet. And, Toadman, he gave it a 3.5. He was at the, it looks like he took a picture when he was at the finals back in June of 2016. Holy shit. Back when the Sharks actually had a good team because he had it at the SAP Center. Let's move right along to mine. Mine is Black is Beautiful by Crowns and Hops. This is an excellent beer. I'm really digging it. I'm going to give it a 4.5. So let's see here. Let me check it out. It's going to be Black is Beautiful. And I'm going to have to put, I have to see if I can type in Crown and Hops. There it is. It has an overall rating of 3.76. I got to say, if it was 3.76, maybe it was when it first came out because this is way too good to be a 3.76. Definitely has to be a over a 4 beer as of now, as it mellowed out a little bit. This one is 4.5 for me, and I'm going to say it is smooth and semi-sweet. And I'm going to say smooth and roasty. There you go. Save and check in. None of our friends have rated it. It has an overall rating of 3.75 with 579 check-ins. All right. The one thing I wanted to talk about was it took my daughter to medieval times. It's been such a long time since I've been to medieval times. Do you remember when our parents took us way back? Shit, but we were like maybe teenagers, right?
I think, yeah, we're still in high school. I mean, it's been a long time.
Yeah. And that was the Buena Park medieval times. Probably the one that was in The Cable Guy. They probably used that one.
Believe so, yeah.
It was fun. Expensive as all hell. But, you know, it's not something we do all the time. It's I don't even know when the next time we're going to go. But so, you know, we kind of spend a little bit, but that's fine. I had a great time. The beer, they actually had craft beer there. They didn't have any AB InBev products. I didn't see any. They had local craft beer there by Huss Brewing. They had their American Light Lager, which is supposed to brew to be like a macro lager. A blonde ale, an amber, and orange wheat. I think the Papago orange blossom wheat beer. And yeah, so I had a stein of the blonde ale, and then after that I had the amber when I was there. But the show is fun. You know, it's pretty much the same all the time. You know, the choreographed fighting, and our night lost. He made it to the end though. It was we were in the black and white knight section, and he went up against the red and yellow knight for the championship, and he ended up losing. But
did you sing the red knights going down?
No, I thought about it. We were sitting right next to the red knight section, and they didn't have a chance. It wasn't sold out, so it was kind of I don't know. I guess it wasn't as loud as it could have been.
But, I see.
Yeah. Those horses are amazing though. And the one thing I know, one thing that was kind of funny was towards the end, when they did their jousting and their sword play and everything, they dropped down a what do you call it? Like in hockey, they had a net. They had a foul ball net that went went around the whole viewing area and came down from the top and everything. When we first came out and they had the horses and they were making them do, you know, like the marches and the kicks and the bowing and all that stuff, you know, no net. But when they did the games, they brought the net down and we were in the front row, and yeah, it kind of, it was hard to take good pictures because my phone kept wanting to focus on the net and then on the actual subject I was trying to take a picture of. So, probably if you sat back further, the net probably wasn't as obtrusive.
I get you. And, that kind of, I guess it, you know, just to reduce the chance of debris or equipment flying in the crowd. I get it. Times changed, you know, where the whole risk management, like liability, mm-hmm. protect your ass comes into play.
Right. Yeah, I get it too. At first I was like, they don't really need this. But then I thought, you know, like what if they're sparring and an axe head, you know, breaks and then goes flying.
Yeah. Or I lost my eye jousting. Oh yeah, what happened? Well, I was in the front row at medieval times, and a splinter broke off and hit me in the eye.
I was fucking around and I put my chicken skin on my face, pretending to be Hannibal Lecter.
What'd your daughter think of that, eating with their hands and stuff?
Oh, at first she wanted. She even said she wanted silverware, and they'll give you silverware if you ask. But then once the food was being served, she kind of just went along with the thing. But she kept taking everyone's nap. Well, everyone, me and her mom, she kept taking our napkins. But they give you a little. They give you wet nap in the beginning and a wet nap at the end. But it was good, man. I finished my whole plate. Of course, I was starving by the time I got there.
There you go.
Your
money's worth.
And it was all the way out in Scottsdale, so it was about a 45-minute drive, and it was fine driving out there. On the way back, I was like, oh man, I wish it was a little bit closer. But you know how that goes. Everyone's tired.
Right.
Good times though. Good times. It's been a while and it'll probably be another while. And so far I think I've been to Medieval Times 3 times, twice in Buena Park and once here. and I am 0-3. My knight has not won once.
He only went once. However, I can't think of where I was at where I saw a similar type show. And no, it wasn't like the Vegas Luxor show. It was something else. It escapes me for the moment.
Oh, okay. And I figured my daughter was going to like it because when we went to the Renaissance Festival and we went to the jousting show, it was a very similar type deal. And so I knew she was going to dig it. And she did. She liked it.
That's cool in the game.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah, you got anything you'd like to bring up? Maybe the Tom Brady roast, which I already heard.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, I had, this afternoon I put on the Netflix for my daughters because they wanted to watch something. And I saw the Tom Brady roast. I'm like, oh, okay, this might be interesting. I didn't watch it. However, yeah, my social media has been covering a lot of stuff said on it. And it sounds like it went a little off the rails. I'm down to watch it, you know?
Yeah, I saw that one where I saw the clip of when Brady said told Jeff Ross don't say that shit again. When Jeff Ross was roasted Kraft about the massages.
Oh, see, I knew he said something. I don't know the exact joke, so
yeah. I didn't give away the joke. I just told you what the joke was about. But yeah, Tom didn't care for that one. He knows it's a roast, right?
Apparently. Right.
I mean, I was looking at like some of the most brutal jokes said at the Comedy Central roast, and there was a lot harder shit said. Like, I think I forgot who said it to Carrot Top, but he's like, "How did the doctor add an extra chromosome or something like that?"
Oh, geez.
There was some, or talking about. What do you call it? Someone said that people in other countries gives Flava Flay 50 cents a day. Or starving kids in other countries gives 50 Flava Flay. Anyway, it's jokes, man. It's jokes. Just go with it.
Right.
I guess, you know, when you're not used to being up there and being in that environment, you don't realize that it's nothing personal. There's just supposed to be joking. Do you think you can handle that?
All good.
You think you can handle being roasted? Okay. at least you're aware. yeah, I don't think I could either.
Pull back the curtain. Today is Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
Yesterday was May 4th. You know, everyone calls it Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. For those of you Star Wars fans out there, they released a little mini series called Tales of the Empire. Really interesting. I liked them. They were about that... I can't think of her name now. It's like Morgan L. Something. I forgot how to say it.
Okay.
Anyway, it was. She ended up being in The Mandalorian in Ahsoka. That lady
the sorceress.
That little village. What
is it? That sorceress.
Well, she became one, but she had the witches on her side. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it Elsbeth? Morgan Elsbeth.
There you go.
And then And then it was also about another like fallen Jedi, one that framed Ahsoka. That's why it was because of her. Ahsoka left the Jedi Order. However, it shows her story where she became one of those Inquisitors.
Hmm. Yeah.
So they even had Vader in for a little bit. Spoiler alert. However, it was just cool because they did Tales of the Jedi before, and it was just like random stories where, although there were six episodes, like. Three of them were connected, and then the other three were connected. So I kind of liked how they did that.
Oh, okay. So they're like filling in the gaps.
Anyway, Star Wars fans, check it out. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So they're kind of like filling in the gaps then of some of the stories, some of the bigger stories?
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like their origin stories or continuation stories.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Yeah, I did see Disney released a bunch of new content for Star Wars. And, you know, they did it on purpose for May the 4th. And everyone's having fun online with it.
They had a new trailer, like a longer one for the Acolyte series. So,
oh yeah, that's coming soon. Going out. Mm-hmm.
June 4th, next month. Dang, it's gonna be here before you know it.
Yeah, they did have a. Speaking of which, I have Medieval Times. They were pushing hard for their they had a shot for called, damn it, I forgot what it was called. Blue Milk. It was a Blue Milk shot.
Nice.
Yeah, I think it had vodka and then some pineapple, and I forgot what made it blue. Maybe some curacao in it. But I kept saying no. But every time the bar a wench came around, she kept pushing it. Like, hey, you guys need refills or anything? How about you, sir? You, because I was, oh, you know why? Because I was wearing an R2-D2 shirt. That's probably why. But I didn't. I had two beers, and they were like, they were probably like half liters of steins. They weren't full liters. And I had two of those, and you know, they were lower ABV beers, but I wasn't trying to, you know, get drunk because I had to drive all the way back.
I get you.
Yeah.
But you wear the shirt, you get the attention.
I guess so, yeah. Hey, this nerd, here's a mark I can fucking buy one of these shots. They must have, like, their pre-shift meeting. They're like, push these shots today, please. Anyway. All right. Thank you for downloading yet again another Cold Brew Podcast. I am Greg, he is Sorcerer Chromatic, and we like to wish you cheers.
Until next time.